Welcome to season two of the Pursuit of Living Well podcast. This season, we are starting with a bang. What do you need to change in order to heal, to live with intention, to move the needle forward in regards to life with meaning? What would you do if you knew that all you needed was already inside you to pursue that life that you've always wanted? What changes would you make to your current life if you knew that everything was really going to be okay? Put your headphones on and take it all in as my guests are bringing value to your day so that you can be in a better frame of mind to go do that thing to which you were called. I want to say welcome, Jessica Horton, and thank you for allowing us to talk and just have a conversation today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me again. I'm excited just to continue the conversation too. I mean, every time I talk to you, we go so deep on a lot of things. And I love that I was kind of able to just share my story a little bit, but I'm really excited today to kind of dive into the meat of things of intentional connections and how they really shape and mold us in different areas. And yeah.
Yeah. It's been interesting. I think, you know, anybody that knows me, they know that I talk about energy a lot and about, you know, energy really is all about connections when it comes down to it, right? Whether it's with the power grids, whether it is with between people, whatever, that it's a connection point, and either it's good energy or bad energy, right? And just recently, and to be honest, I couldn't really put my finger on it at first until maybe a couple of days ago, because I've been sick for 2 weeks as of yesterday. And yes, I'm much better and I'm back to work and all of that, but it's really pulled the rug out from under me. And I haven't been sick like this in a long time. And so my connection point was very foggy. And I didn't know whether that had to do with what I was experiencing illness-wise or whether it was really this battlefield of the mind that I feel was really going on right now in our world. I think that there's a huge like spiritual battle going on and the connections that are trying to be heard that shouldn't be heard are trying to make their way to those of us that have a purpose to be loud. Yeah. You know, we've been called to this time and this place to have a voice, to speak, to be loud, to have connections with others. And in that connection, point it back to God. And I feel like for me, I needed to really ground myself in the truths of what God was saying. And so I was excited when I got your text this morning and it said, I know it's early, but I'm super excited to be talking today, you know, on the podcast about connections because God's really speaking to me. And I got just flooded with chills. And even now just with chills, because I know that I have been called to speak more about that. And, if you don't have God in your life and you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life guiding you, then why are we even here? Right. So I kind of want to turn it over to you and tell us what was going on this morning.
Yeah. You know, we need connections nowadays more than I feel like we ever did, especially coming out of COVID and the pandemic and all that. People are like, from that time in our life to where we hit pause. Mm-hmm. You know, before then, I feel like even in my own life, I was just go, go, go nonstop. So I didn't have time for connection, genuine connections. I had like kind of lost that about myself, which if you know me and my friends who know me know that I'm totally a people person. I thrive off of being around others. I love serving others. It's what fills my heart. You know, when I'm home in Nashville, I have a lot of friends come over and we do every Sunday's family dinner. And I love that because our neighbors come over, I'm able to cook, serve others, pour into people. And connections are really just what fill me. And when I think about the different avenues of my life, my connections with others is really what's gotten me in life personally, professionally, spiritually, everything to where I'm at. You know, my connection with God is first and foremost the most important connection that I have. And as I've gotten older, I've really learned that. I've learned how much he, as my source, as my provider, as my anchor, like when I'm connected with him, everything just flows. Mm-hmm. And it flows easy and it flows smooth. And I think I mentioned before to you in conversations we've had, when I try to take over control of a situation or the direction I'm trying to make force mm-hmm. something to happen, it always just crumbles and it just doesn't work out the way that it's supposed to.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times it's because our mindset kind of shifts to that, what can you do for me mentality versus what can I do for you? You know, so, and also too, with that whole control part, that's where the alignment of God for me is. When I'm not in align with him, things are just harder and it feels forced in just a lot of areas of life and work. And connections are big in my life. When I think about kind of how I've gotten here to now being an owner of the cottage, a lot of the connections along my journey in the past 12 years, doors have either opened. And you know, when I was younger, I feel like I had a ton of friends. And as I've gotten older, my parents have always zoned me into saying, Jess, like, make your circle small. Be really intentional about who you spend your time with. Are they helping you be better? Are they growing you? Are they challenging you? And it's okay to remove some people in your life. That's necessary. It's absolutely healthy. It's necessary. You kind of find a, you know, who you're surrounding yourself with of who's really in your corner. And I've really gotten to see that in the last 12 years as I've stepped out really boldly and made big, bold moves. I've really gotten to see friend-wise, personally and professionally, who's really been behind me, especially when you start to kind of self-doubt some of things and decisions that you're making and people kind of keeping you accountable that, nope, this is your goal, this is your vision, keep going, you know?
I have really realized again over the last 2 weeks, the people that really, really do care and have a heart to serve. And I, you know, it talks about in the Bible, you know, the greatest of these are those that serve, and those that, you know, can become humble, and those that are really wanting to pour into helping others at whatever level that is. And the outpouring that I've had with people that are, you know, dropping soup off of at my door, be like, oh, send me a text, it's there, you know, because can't see me, has just been amazing. And those people that you think, okay, we've had some good conversations, but we don't really hang out with a lot, but it always feels comfortable when we come back together, you know, those are the people that show up at your doorstep, and it's like, ding, 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 ding. These are the people that you need to be spending time with. You know, you need to make a point to spend time with these people, like schedule it, create space. And it's just like, you know, taking care of ourselves, the connection with God and with ourselves. It's not going to happen unless we create that space for that. And how many times have you said, oh my gosh, let's get together? I'm not talking about between you and I, because we usually win, right? Yeah. But in general, the population says, oh my gosh, we need to get together. Let's do dinner. And then it never happens because they're empty words, right?
Right.
They're empty words, and there is no, how is it that you see something as an opportunity versus an inconvenience?
A lot of the opportunities that I've kind of stepped into have been really faith driven, obviously. Mm-hmm. But in those moments, God's really placed people around me who've been words of affirmation, of clarity, mm-hmm. of yes, just step into this.
You know, it's interesting that you've always had this thing, you pray big prayers and you have big dreams and things like that. And yet we don't ever see the how that big thing is going to happen. And inevitably something happens where it pops up and you see it as like, oh my gosh, this is the opportunity to the answer to the question of the how And you step into that to figure out and see if that opportunity could be that connection point. And something just recently happened with you guys, and you don't have to tell all the details behind that, but you prayed a big prayer about the situation with your, with the business at the cottage and the things that you wanted to have happen. And this opportunity, quote unquote, showed up. Tell us what happened.
I'm all about praying big prayers. I've learned that over the years, if you really pray big, God wants you to pray big. He wants you to come to him praying big. I think there's something in scripture about literally like running the nations. I remember my pastor telling me about, and this past week has been kind of insane of something that I, our vision for 2022 is really big. We've put together a vision board, and I've kind of encouraged my teams to do their own. And I think when you speak truth into your goals and your desires, like God will provide them if they are aligned with his plans. And so last week before I came out to the back out to the cottage, I just kind of spent time with God of saying, all right, God, these are the talents, these are the acts, the events that I want to bring to 2022. It's completely different from what our community's ever seen. And I prayed really specific, really direct on who those names were and visions that I just kind of had. And I, of course, stress as a new business owner about how do you provide for those financially, because they're big goals and big ambitions and big dreams and big investments. I mean, the cottage itself is a big investment for me, but I believe, and I've always believed this, that God provides for his plans. So why stress about that? Even though that's hard to also say at the same time, because you still do. And I remember last week I prayed this really specific prayer on Monday, and I'm not even kidding you, 24 hours later, and it was answered. You just never know the connections that you meet, that you have and you start, of how they can later come back full circle. When you place the right people in your corner, you're good to others, they'll be good to you.
What pulls at your heartstrings here?
I get emotional thinking about it. Like, I can't even tell you what the trailer. So we have a place here on Glen Street, which is how our family, I mentioned to you before, kind of grew up coming here. There is no amount of money or anything that would ever trade that back deck in that trailer that we have. It means so much to me because of the memories we have here on Glen Street and that feeling of when you come over the bridge. Even though I'm not from this community, like grew up here, I'm for it. And I've considered myself a part of it for all these years, the 32 years I've been alive and the 50 years that our family's had property here. Like, my heart really is for the community and wanting to do things, do something different and expanded and give more experiences out here.
You know, I find that those of us that this is our home now, right? We didn't quote unquote grow here. Yeah, I grew here. We didn't grow up here 24/7, 365, but we did grow up here during our summers and during our vacation days. And so I have to remind ourselves, or remind myself. And I think that we fall into the trap of, no, I didn't grow up there, but my heart, you know, but we did, you know, part of us, we really did. And, you know, when we get older and we're on our last days of life, nobody ever says that they regret the making the moments and having experiences, you know, those are the things that are lasting. And those are the things that stay with you. And that's huge for you. Y'all have had property here for 50 years. Yeah. There are people that call themselves local and they haven't lived here, you know, or had anything to do with the place for 50 years, but they moved here and their kids have grown up here or whatever, you know, and I've been here 13 years as my home. And it's funny because when I first moved here, you know, they were like, oh, dit dots and, you know, people that, you know, come and go and things like that. But I remember the drawbridge, you know, going over to Atlantic Beach. I remember when they were building the new bridge. I remember having to stop and you know, the traffic be backed up for miles before you could get over because of there was a, you know, a ship that was going up underneath it or whatever, boats and the shrimp you know, trawlers and things like that. There's a lot of history here.
Yeah. I really want people who are even first timers of coming out here and seeing our area, I really want them to fall in love with the community through different experiences that we do. And I mean, it was important to me when I bought the cottage of, well, how do we create those experiences? Not just hosting an event, but how do we get people to explore what the Crystal Coast is really like?
You said something earlier about the memories on the back deck.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the connections that we make on the back deck, you know, yeah, around here. And I'm sure it's all over the nation, but right here in this town, you know, you have some people that say, oh, there's nothing to do. And in my experience, where people have the most fun and the most memories and the most like emotional connection, for lack of a better word, are the times on the back deck. There are the times around the fire pit. There are the times with a drink in hand and you've got music going and everybody feels like family. And they're the conversations that people are having, you know, during a specific thing that's going on. And yes, you're going to have events here, but there's something about the memories and that time on the back deck. And the cottage has that back deck right there. And it is creating an emotional attachment of sorts. And that is the heart of who you guys are, is that emotional experience that you bring to the table when you're bringing these quote unquote performers in. It's like that's the pull initially, but people experience something else.
Yeah. And that's what I love about that, of the tie between the deck at our old trailer that, you know, it has all those memories, to now it's almost like we obviously stepped it up and we had this now gorgeous back deck that now we're able to create these moments and experiences. At the end of the day, like, experiences are what create memories, and memories are what last a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I love about like the cottage back deck, is we're a very different venue. We are not your normal venue. Like when you go to Raleigh and there's the Lincoln, or in Atlanta, there's the Tabernacle, which are these great venues that you're used to going to and you buy a ticket. We literally are like a giant beach house. Mm-hmm. So naturally people have came into our space and they feel comfortable. It feels at home. It almost feels like, with a lot of our clients who book the space, they're like, it feels like my backyard.
It's like you've had somebody that is coming to play at your home for a private party. That's the difference. And it's not even like you go to the club venues around here that may have a little bit more. And they're like, oh, well, we have, you know, people come in and they're that close and blah, blah, blah. But it's totally different because it's a club atmosphere. And with you, it is like, you just had somebody come do a private performance for you. And yet it's like the VIP ticket on steroids.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like no other. And that's the thing about having been in the pandemic for the last 2 years, and you know, people getting away from the concerts and the shows, and then people, you know, they're going back to it and everybody's loving it because they can finally connect. But with this, it's such more, there's so much more, you can't put a price tag on the intimacy and that experience of being able to have a conversation with them. With, like, what? I mean, you're right there. You're right there. And you're experiencing it with friends and family and other, you know, locals or people that have traveled. There's that one thing in common that everybody leaves with, and it's the emotional aspect behind it. Really, that's what it all boils down to, is that emotional aspect behind it. And so I want to, you know, say kudos to you for all of that and what you're bringing, and I just want to continue after the podcast to continue to talk about that aspect of it, because that's what's going to draw the people in, is knowing and talking about that emotional aspect, because you can see and you can talk about all the great things about the facility, doesn't matter if there's no connecting point.
What if there was a way to access the subconscious and shut off that racing mind? What if that sleep that you were getting at night actually allowed you to recover and wake up more alive and alert the next day? The Soundbar is a meditation room that uses frequency-minded music to help you relax and reset. It uses different frequencies to target nerve receptors in the body and may help with anxiety, stress, depression, lack of sleep, chronic pain, and more. The Soundbar is located right here in Moorhead City at 4426 Arundel Street, Suite A in Pelletier Harbor Shops.
Let's talk about something completely different than the cottage.
Let's do it.
Here we both are single.
Yeah.
And let's talk about the dating pool, and let's talk about some fun things, or not so fun, or some laughable things, or whatever. The dating pool around here is what it is, right? And there are some good, great guys and not some great guys, and some that are funny and they just make you laugh. And, you know, talk to me about dating in your 30s.
They've been married before, or they have kids, or, you know, and so that's new. I've had always said forever, I didn't want to date somebody who had kids. Well, now that pool gets smaller, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. But it's hard. It's hard too, because a lot of people, I literally had a friend over to the cottage last night, and we were sitting talking, and he was like, you know, you must really, and he's like, can I ask you something? You not get offended by this? And he's like, do men get intimidated by you? And I said, absolutely. I've had so many guy friends say, Jess, you are very intimidating to guys. So it's going to be a really special person who isn't threatened by your success or the things that you have going on in your life, and embraces that and encourages it. Because mm-hmm. there's not many men like that. And I think some of that is because of past traditions of where the women are taught to be more submissive, you know, and that's not me. Mm-hmm. I'm a very dominant go-getter personality. But when I get into a relationship, I also want somebody to be able to tone me down and saying, hey, Jess, like, I got the steering wheel. You can sit in the passenger seat. We're good. You know, because I'm always having to make decisions. And some of my best relationships have been guys who have been able to do that and check me when I need to be checked, or in obviously a respectful way. But yeah, dating's just harder. It's hard in your 30s, you know?
If you could put out there, like, what exactly it is that you're looking for, what would it be?
Somebody who, like, their heart is the most important thing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Their heart, their relationship with God. You know, I've dated a lot of guys who are not equally yoked. Mm-hmm. And I've had great relationships with them, but they just haven't worked, because at the end of the day, when we get down to the root of it and we're thinking about future, and that's where I'm at with my dating now. I'm not dating recreationally,
right?
Dating intentionally now.
Right.
And so when I think about that, but I do need to know that, you know, you do believe that there is God, and you are saved by God. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, that's important. And that's one of those things that's a deal breaker. Mm-hmm. You know, I've in the past, like, put my guard down on that and been like, it's okay. Like, but now I've seen, like, those just relationships for me personally don't work. And, you know, their faith's important. And I want to be able to go drink a beer on Saturday night, go to church on Sunday, you know,
right.
Like, Jesus still loves me. Even if I cuss, I won't need a partner who's a Bible thumper.
Yeah.
But not to say that in a negative light, but yeah, I mean, like, their heart, somebody who has their own things going on as well. That's important to me, just for the sake of understanding that if they don't see me, it's okay. But mm-hmm. it doesn't mean that our connection has changed, or mm-hmm. if they don't hear from me because I'm working all day or have an event all day, it's okay. We're still good,
Yeah. I had a conversation with a good friend of mine. Actually, we did a podcast together, and we talked about, the subject was the difference between being, what was the difference between being a nice guy or a good man, and something like that. And one of the things that he said was, always ask, what was it, the two things, what was it that made you ask me out? Mm-hmm. A, and then also, what are you passionate about? And if they're not passionate about something, I mean, it could be they're passionate about their socks matching. I don't know, but they're passionate about something in their life. Doesn't have to be the same thing as you. Hopefully it's not the same thing as you, because you need that polarization, right? But he's, yeah. But they said, if they're passionate about something and you're passionate about something, that's good. That's in your individuality, you know, that can bring you together, that you enjoy something apart as well. And, I think people forget that, you know, and they're like, oh, well, he was nice, or, you know, in the moment, whatever. And they're like, oh, well, this is doable. But if they're just like kind of flatlined and really not happy about anything, unless it's something that you're happy in, or their opinion about something changes with you, there's something wrong there. Then they're always that people pleasing and that type of thing. And it'll come back to bite you, you know? And, yeah. And I think, it's so important that in whatever relationship that we are involved in, that someone has something about them that sets their soul on fire.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Yeah. It's interesting too. You know, I've dated people who don't have that drive, and I've seen how those relationships failed. And then I've also dated some people who like have their own things. Now, we just happen to not be like partners for whatever, yeah. You know, yeah. Whatever, however it worked out, but it was nice for, it's nice that they can go do their own thing and still we can come back and connect at the end of the day, or whether they go out with their friends or mine. Like, I think that's super important. If you have your group of friends and mine, obviously going out together and doing stuff, but it's okay if you go out with the boys, like,
right.
I'm just home, watch TV, whatever, or vice versa.
Absolutely.
And just balance.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I just, you think dating in your 30s is hard, wait till hopefully it won't be 53. Everybody has kids, you know, somewhere, or it's weird, they've never been married. And so then you're like, okay, yeah. Is that because A, you have been, you know, either focused on career the whole time, but to the extent of you don't even know how to have a relationship, you know, so that's the question that goes in my mind. And I don't even mind that they've been married twice. Like, what did you learn? Three times is a charm. So I'm all for it. But but what did you learn in that you don't want to repeat? Because the common theme in that is you, right? So those are the things that I ask. And it's crazy because when you're dating in your 50s, you are a little bit more bold to ask the questions. It's like, I'm not playing. I ain't got time to play.
That's like me now. Like, I just don't want to waste my time. Our time is the most precious thing that we have. Mm-hmm. And so when we give our time away, mm-hmm. and as like I look at now people that I spend my time with, I'm like, is that time well spent? Like, am I... like, my time is my gift and I'm giving that to you. I can't get that back.
Right.
You know, so I think it's super important to be very, it's okay to say no to somebody, you know?
Have you ever gone out with someone and you feel like you're the one carrying the conversation? Like, they treat you like a queen, but they can't ask you anything about yourself.
That's a big pet peeve of mine. Yeah. I do not like going out on dates where it's somebody who's talking about themselves the entire time and they don't really get, because they don't get to know you. Like, I really have thrived in those moments where a man has wanted to know me and like, what do you do? What's your heart? And it's not just about like professional, it's personal, it's deep, it's emotion.
Right.
It's, you know, that to me, that's that's meaningful. And, you know, I'm stepping now into this new season of life, mm-hmm. of where I've become more of a resident here. I'm here 3 weeks out of the month, mm-hmm. and I'm probably going to be here full time here soon. And so I'm now intentionally trying to find my people. So mm-hmm. before, as a vacationer forever, it was our neighbors and family who was my connection. And now right. Now I feel like a local.
Right.
And so now I'm trying to find my people, friends, community, whatever out here to start building those connections and relationships. And obviously in hope and God's timing, whoever I end up with, you know, who knows if it's going to be here in Atlantic Beach or if it's in Nashville or wherever, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you were to ask or put out there what you would want to be asked, what would it be?
I want people to understand my relationship with God and why it's important to me. And I know that we talk about faith a lot, but I really want my partner who I'm with to encourage that. And like mm-hmm. when I need my quiet time, like mm-hmm. they understand that's what makes me whole. So like my really good friend, Bill, who I live with in Nashville, Bill is my road dog. He is my right-hand man. I really appreciate him for that, just as my friend, and that connection being as my close friend. He understands like what that means to me of yeah. having that quiet time. And he so respects it in the morning, which is yeah. what I appreciate, because he kind of comes out later, surfacing later than me, just because he knows that I like being by myself in that moment. And I don't have to be in my bedroom, dude. I can come out to the living room and sit there mm-hmm. and he just will sit there and quiet. And his presence of just like respecting that means mm-hmm. a lot to me. And just as my friend, I want that to transfer even in a relationship that I have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah. I think just somebody wanting to know my heart and asking yeah. the deeper questions, not surface level ones, but really yeah. like what drives you? What makes you mad? Why do you get stressed? Like somebody who understands how I respond to that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, I think that's why like the five love languages is really important to understand about people, because like I'm totally a words of affirmation person. And I also like quality time.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I want to hear if you like me, if you're into me, like so that we are communicating better. I want to feel desired. I want to feel loved, you know, and it totally goes to on the Enneagram. If you're into the Enneagram, which I'm very new to learning about it. I know Russell Dickerson's team was all about it, which is how I heard about it. But I'm a 3, which is the achiever with a uh-huh. wing 2, which means I'm a helper. Uh-huh. So I have learned that a lot about myself in mixing that with love languages. It's helped me kind of understand me and how, when I need people or when I need a partner in those moments of where my weaknesses are.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. I may have gone down a rabbit hole.
No, that's great. I mean, because it is all about the connections, but people sometimes don't even know how to have a conversation in general, in building friendships and building relationships. And in my experiences with women, we don't share a whole lot because women my age, the 50 somethings, the other Karens with the K and the Beckys and the Barbaras. I'm Karen with the C. I'm not the Karen. I've been known to pull a Karen before. But anyway, we in the past, women have been catty and but it's because of our defenses. You know, it's our, we've been treated with disrespect. We've been treated, you know, we all around the mean girl thing. And so we don't know how to share. We don't know how to go deep. And so I appreciate that about the younger generation and those of us that are older, we're able to tap into that more now, knowing that this is a safe space. Mm-hmm. And if you are in touch with your intuition and in your energy and with the energy of other people, you'll know, mm-hmm. you really will know whether that is a safe space to be vulnerable or not. And that goes within the dating pool as well, yeah. whether you can be vulnerable or not. And if you ask the questions of, you know, what sets your soul on fire these days? What do you get excited about? And they can't answer you.
Yeah.
there's a problem. And it could be that they really are trying to figure it out because life has thrown them some crap recently, right? Yeah. And it could be that the reason that they're talking about themselves so much is not coming from an arrogant place, but it's coming from a place of feeling like they have to prove themselves. Mm-hmm. That's what I have found. And it breaks my heart because I'm like, you know, there's something there where you've been broken and you felt like you've always had to prove yourself, whether it was with your parents or whether it was with your former spouse, or whatever, or in the work pool or whatever, that you've always had to prove yourself or come from behind. And so you want to say all these great things that you're doing and you're accomplishing. That doesn't matter. I want to know who you are at your core and what your heart is.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And when you were saying that, I was like, yeah. But also to understand that you have to really know what kinds of questions to ask ourselves to be able to get the type of response that we want. And if we're not getting the response from the questions that we ask, then that's where we have to have a check. And they have to be like, okay, either next, or maybe I need to give this a little bit more time, because there has to be a trust that's built.
Yeah.
In order to, you know, sometimes, you know, from the first date, sometimes it takes a couple of months to really see, like, there's something that keeps bringing you back together for a reason. Is it a toxic behavior, or is it something that keeps pulling you back because there's something worth looking more into, even though there are some red flags?
Yeah.
It's okay to have red flags, and it's okay to come together from a healing standpoint. And you know, that's where connection is, and we're all learning, right?
Yeah.
And it's learning to have grace with each other and grace with, and that's in, again, in any relationship.
Yeah. Grace with people is a big thing. And I really struggle with sharing my emotions, primarily because I've always been like a tomboy. I've always ran around with the boys anyways. And
yeah,
so,
same, like, same. People wouldn't know that, but
like expressing and being vulnerable, I really struggle with that. I struggle with it in relationships too. Like, and I know that I do, you know, being vulnerable to show that weaker or softer side. I just have always really battled with that one. So, and that just takes having a partner that you feel like you can have those moments with them, and they don't make you feel less than.
Yeah. And that comes from something that we've experienced, right? Because we grew up thinking that sharing emotions or being vulnerable is weak, you know, and the thing is it's not. And so we have to change our mindset with that. It depends on if, you know, when we're stable in so many things, but we can't share without the feeling of ourselves being weak. Like, at somewhere down the road, that was taught to us in something that we've experienced, you know? And that was a big aha for me, because when I would go to talk to somebody and I would get caught up in the emotion, I would start to tear up, and I had to, and it was coming from a place of fear of somebody not really listening to me or hearing me, and feeling like I had to either get loud or I had to be emotional to be heard. And that wasn't the case with everybody. And so now, like, when I'm talking to someone and I tear up, it's coming from a place of like, I've just got this overwhelming unconditional love for whoever it is that I'm speaking to. And it's a soft place in my heart for that person or that group of people. And I really know that that's something that God has given me, you know, for my connection with other people, is to know that, you know, when you're talking to me, it's a safe space.
Yeah.
There is no condemnation. There is no being critical. I accept you for who you are. And my problem is that I expect to be treated the same way. And not everybody is like that. And that's hard.
Such a good point. I had a mentor tell me one time, which really stuck with me, don't expect me out of you. And it really stuck with me professionally, but even personally and with relationships, is that we have to, like, people are who they are. You have mm-hmm. to be okay to meet them where they're at and mm-hmm. be okay with that. I can't expect, just because, let's say, I'm all about the little things. I don't need big flashy. I don't need gifts and all that.
Same.
Things like handwritten cards or just like, hey, I'm thinking about you. Huge. That's a game changer to me. Like those little things, like I try to do that. Mm-hmm. But if I don't get those back, I can't expect what I would do out of that person. I've really had to learn that too, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is just being able to meet people with where they're at and where they're at. Is that enough for you? And is that okay with you?
Yeah.
Because it could be like, I am who I am. I'm very like moving forward really fast in my life and fast pace. And I can sometimes, because I'm making decisions all day, sometimes turn to bossiness sometimes. And that's where like my good friends have been like, hey, I need you to pump the brakes. Like,
chill.
And that's great. Like those relationships have helped me, but also people being able to be okay with who I am, but help also balance me too. Mm-hmm. You know,
one of the things that I find myself having the thought of is, well, they're not where I am. And that's not what, and then it comes across as they're less than, and that's not what I mean at all. We're mm-hmm. all in different categories, and the levels are not vertical up and down. They're horizontal. You know, the level of their best is just in a different category of the level in my best. And that's the way I truly see people. And yet somehow I would put off an air about myself that I saw myself better than. And that was not like, if you really knew me, felt like I was less than everybody else and never good enough, you know, and people would like just anyway. So I think that that is for those of us that are strong, independent women, mm-hmm. To know that our heart is not seeing someone as, because they may not be as spiritual or they may not be as driven in their career, doesn't mean that we think that they are less than. By all means, we welcome it to the table because it brings balance to us, right? It brings this place of appreciation and like, yes, I can let my hair down and I can let you take care of me in this now moment. I welcome it. And yes, please do make the decision for me. You know, like, it's okay. Yes, please tell me what time you're picking me up and what do I need to wear? And,
and that to me is big. I love it. I have really enjoyed dates where somebody's planned it.
Yes.
Not having to plan it, because that's what I do every day.
Yes. Always. Yes.
It's so nice that when I think back on some of the relationships that I've had and they've planned out our night, and like that to me just is filling. And it also shows initiative, like as a man taking, like grabbing the bull by the horns and making the move. Like,
yeah. And they don't always have to be narcissistic. I think that's a trend word right now, that any man with any gumption or that wants to do something like that, women have this, I've seen women have this, all of a sudden this light bulb goes off and they're like, oh, they're being narcissistic. I don't want any man to tell me what to do, blah, blah, blah. No, if you're in your femininity, if you have anything about you that is feminine, you desire for that man to be a safe landing space and to have control mm-hmm. from a caring, kind, wanting to place of service, right? Mm-hmm. That's a place of service and wanting to do that for a woman. And
hey, I'm right there with you. If somebody's like, hey, Jess, we're having friends come over to the house tonight, I'm like, yes, you know, that fills my soul. I don't want to go out. I want to go to the bars, and I like going out to the restaurants every now and then, but like, I would much rather have friends come over.
Yes.
In our space or in their space together, just hanging out.
Absolutely.
Connection. And my thing is like in dating, like I don't need somebody to be all over me. I do like affection.
Yeah.
But I want, even like just from across the room, people can be like, that's his girl and he's proud of the confidence to that, of like having a man who knows the prized possession he has with you.
Yeah.
Like that's that's attractive. And we just haven't met those people yet. And that's okay. Right. Again, back to my point, like, I know right now, God, now that he's like, just wait, Jess, it'll come. Mm-hmm. And I'll place him right in your path to where you won't miss him. And that's what I always pray about. Like, I pray for my future partner and praying for God, like, open my eyes in that moment so I don't miss him when the time is right, you mm-hmm. know? Mm-hmm. So
I appreciate you. Thank I appreciate you. Our conversations.
I'm so grateful for the connection that we have.
Yeah.
Like, literally, Aaron, it's so refreshing to be able to dive deep with you every time. And when it's just us and we dive deep about like dating and life and the hardships and finances and how do we continue to be better women.
If you are having deep conversations with someone where you feel drained at the end of it, like, whew, I've just had a therapy session, I need to go, like, then there's something wrong. But if you're having the deep conversations with somebody where it's life-giving on both ends, you can't get enough of it. And that's the way I feel whenever we get together. So I thank
you for having me on here today. And thanks for letting me talk about connections with people, with past industry and with God and dating and life. So I appreciate you.
I appreciate you.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your day today to listen to this latest episode. I would be forever honored if you would give us a 5-star review. And if you have any questions or comments, please leave those in the comment section. And we look forward to seeing you next time.